than 10 cup. Tickets costs are as high as $900. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. A lot of stuff going on today, not only in the media, in the Christian world as well. Just a lot of events that are starting to gear up and take place, and a lot of great books out there, of course. We're going to be talking about another really good book here in just a couple of moments. Before I do that, let me just mention that I get back just a little while ago from a breakfast that was held in downtown Greenville there at Second Pres, and the breakfast was sponsored by Second Pres, but it was to promote the upcoming PCRT, that's the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, in 2009. One of the speakers at that event is going to be the pastor down there at Second Pres, none other than Richard Phillips, and so he was leading the meeting there this morning. Had a wonderful time of just hearing from him, their heart about what the purpose of this conference is, and their heart behind it, just bringing Reformed theology to bear. I mean, they're going to be talking about great Reformation doctrine during this upcoming conference. They're going to be talking about the doctrine of justification. And so it's going to be held right here in Greenville, South Carolina, right on April 17th through the 19th, right at Second Pres in downtown Greenville. And Jerry Bridges is going to be here. Steve Lawson is going to be here. Of course, Rick Phillips from Second Pres down there will be speaking as well. And then Derek Thomas will be here. Derek is, of course, blogs quite a bit out there at Reformation 21. That's he's part of the Alliance, and he heads up the work there with Reformation 21 and everything that's taking place there. So looking forward to this. Just enjoyed a good time of fellowship with a number of pastors there this morning, and the encouragement about this upcoming conference being here in Greenville. If you want to go, they're trying to make it as affordable as possible for people here in the area to go. You can go out to their website to find out more. That's www.alliancenet.org. That's alliancenet.org, and you can find out all the information. If you'd rather call, let me give you a phone number. It's 1-800-956-2644. That's 1-800-956-2644, and they can give you all of the information about that upcoming event. I want to let you know about the broadcast today. We're going to be talking with J.D. Wetterling. J.D. has written a book called No One, and the subtitle of that book is When Jesus Says It, He Means It. It's a very small book, but very readable, but very profound, very insightful. What he does is he looks at six texts out of the book of John, the Gospel of John, and in those six texts, he zeroes in on the phrase no one that is mentioned in each one of those texts. For instance, it's mentioned six times, as I just mentioned. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again, in John 3:3. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws him, John 6:44. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6. No one can take my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, John 10:18. No one can snatch them, true Christians, out of my hand, John 10:28, and no one can take away your joy, John 16:22, second half of that verse, the B portion of it. And so J.D. has put together this little book expounding these six text, this theme that we see in the Gospel of John. Let me tell you who J.D. is. He's an ordained elder in the Presbyterian Church of America, PCA, and a retired resident manager of Ridgehaven Conference Center and Retreat Center up in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. A lot of our folks here in the area, especially those associated with PCA churches, have probably been up there to that conference center. He's had over 250 op-ed columns and essays published in a number of different periodicals like the Wall Street Journal and the Los Angeles Times and many, many others. In 1968 to 1969, he flew 268 combat missions in an F-100 fighter jet over Vietnam and was awarded two Distinguished Flying Crosses, 14 Air Medals, and the Vietnam Cross of Gallantry. He was a top gun in every fighter squadron in which he served in the U.S. Air Force, and so just a tremendous background, and it's a pleasure for me to introduce you to J.D. Wettering. J.D., welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Thank you, Kevin. Glad to be here.
J.D., let's go in right away into this idea of these texts that you pull together. You say in your preference, you know, that basically, if I could sum it up in just a word, you know, that people don't see the power of these six texts that you point to in the scriptures. Can you expound on that, just generally speaking, why you decided to write this book and why at this particular time?
Well, yes, Kevin. I've had a number of blessings in my life in being involved with some folks who did not know the Lord and witnessing to them. And this book grew out of that witness. I wanted to make it as simple as possible. Reformed theology is heavy-duty stuff to most people. In fact, to many people, it is a bit alarming when they first hear it. Is that what the Bible is really saying? And I wanted to avoid all of those favorite words that we have as Reformed believers and put out a gospel presentation based on some of my experiences witnessing that could tell the gospel story in the simplest possible words. And if you take these six short declarative sentences by Jesus in the book of John, 80% of them are monosyllable words. And you really can't twist any other meaning out of the words than that which Jesus intended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're pretty straightforward, and you do a wonderful job of expounding on them a little bit in this book. Joey Piper, who's the president over there at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, is one of the people that have endorsed the book, along with Marvin Olasky, Tim Challies. Brian, I say Chappell. I don't know if that's the right way to say it.
Chappell,
is that how I said? Okay, Brian Chappell. And let me read what Joey Piper had to say. He said, "You, like me, probably are often casting about a readable book to put into the hands of a thoughtful, unconverted acquaintance. I plan on keeping copies of this one with me as I travel to give the people who show an interest in talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ." And I think that's a great endorsement that he's using this. Not as, like you were saying, you know, in your introduction here, you know, as a full-orbed explanation of Reformed theology, but basically just showing the gospel as it's preached, you know, with, including the sovereignty of God in that gospel, just from the Gospel of John. So I think that's quite an endorsement.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate Joey doing that for me. Mm-hmm. I was also appreciated what you did in your website when you were explaining what today's program was going to be about. You quoted extensively from a review of this book at Monergism Books by Pastor Nathan Pitchford. Of all the folks who endorsed the book, who wrote reviews, I thought that Nathan came the closest to my line of thinking as to why I printed this book, why I wrote this book. And I was very glad to see that apparently it struck you in a similar way because you used that to introduce the program.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey is right, and Pastor Pitchford is right. I wanted to keep it as absolutely simple as possible so that anyone could understand it and at the same time find it profoundly intellectual.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the case. You know, like we're saying, it is very readable. In that statement that you're mentioning that I put out on the website, he makes the statements about the other themes that run through the books, themes such as the I Am statements of Christ and the seven sign miracles and those types of things. But you've zeroed in on something completely different, these no one sayings of Jesus. And I think this is going to be a very interesting discussion. You're welcome to join the conversation. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hi, this is Rick McConnell with the Disciple Tip. You already know that going to church just makes your life better. But according to scientists, going to church can also make you live longer. According to a long-term U.S. government-funded study of the health of 92,000 people, those who went to church at least once a week, on average, lived longer than those who did not attend. And those who went to church twice a week cut their chances of dying early in life by 20%. You may have to look around a bit, but find a good church near you. Live better. Live longer. You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
The easiest way to teach math is money. In this day of credit cards, too few children handle real money. To teach your child the basics of adding and subtracting, just give a few coins at the checkout counter and say, "Buy me some gum, please." Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
What is the greatest concern in the life of every Christian? It's our standing before God, our judge. Justification through faith alone has been the centerpiece of our faith since the Reformation. Right with God, the doctrine of justification, is the theme for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Speakers include Jerry Bridges, Al Mohler, and more. To register, visit AllianceNet.org or call 1-800-488-1888.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. We're talking about the subject of no one, which I know sounds funny, but no one specifically. We're talking about the seven or six statements of the Lord Jesus Christ that are made in the Gospel of John that include the phrase no one. And we're doing that with author J.D. Wetterling. Let me spell his last name for you. It's W-E-T-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. That's J.D. Wetterling. He's got a website out there called www.jdwetterling.com. You can go out there and read excerpts from the book, and you can read some of the endorsements for it as well. And we're going to start talking about this book right now and about these six passages of Scripture from the Gospel of John. I just want to encourage you that as we do this, you're certainly welcome to add your comments or questions to the conversation today. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. J.D., just before the break, we had started to mention the opening verse here that you talk about in your book. The first, you call it the first unshakable certainty that we find in the book dealing with this no one passage is The one found in a very, very popular verse in John's Gospel in the third chapter and in the third verse, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Let's expound that a little bit, if we could, please.
Thank you, Kevin. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You know, the majority report among those who call themselves Christians today is that Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins. He puts the offer on the table. We consider the offer, author, and we either accept it. Excuse that background noise.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're still flying these days.
That's a diesel truck. And a phone kiosk in Oregon Pipes National Park, 5 miles above the Mexican border.
Wow. Sounds
and,
beautiful.
It's just a beautiful piece of God's creation down here.
Amen.
But anyway, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. In other words, we must have a regenerated heart. We must have spiritual rebirth before we can even make the decision for Christ. And that is a minority of view among Christians today, but that is what Jesus is saying here in words that you can't really twist any other meaning out of them. You cannot see, you cannot make a choice for what you cannot see. And Jesus is saying, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That must happen first. In other words, to use a $2 word that I tried very hard not to use in the book, regeneration must precede faith.
Mm. That's a very important point, because as you mentioned, in our day and age, it's a concept that has been obscured because of the, regenerational decisionism, you know, that we can make a decision for Christ and that it is basically God casts a vote for you, Satan casts a vote against you, and you cast the deciding vote. But that is not really the teaching, as you mentioned here, of this text that we're looking at, that you properly point out that regeneration must occur. We're dead in our trespasses and our sins. We don't have the equipment. The equipment has been marred because of sin to be able to respond to Christ. We're not seeking after Christ. The carnal mind is enmity against God. All of those scripture verses come to mind. And so we can't possibly take the first step towards him. He must do that initial work in our heart. That's what you're emphasizing. Is that correct?
That is precisely right. Let's take another verse, just a few verses beyond that, John 3:16, perhaps the most widely known Bible verse of all. Whosoever will may come, and whosoever will may see heaven and make a choice for God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That makes it sound like it's our decision. But whosoever will may come, and whosoever will may make that choice. But here is the question. Who made you to differ from those who did not? In other words, it is God that made you, that gave you the spiritual rebirth that led to your faith.
Mm-hmm. Even faith itself being a gift, the scripture says, of course, along with repentance being a gift as well.
Correct.
Mm.
Correct.
So all of these things are gifts from God. You start with that first verse there. You start with the idea of regeneration, as we were just talking about. The second one, though, then, that you mention in the book, and these all build like dominoes as we look at the Christian life. The second one appears shortly after that in the text that we find in John chapter 6 in verse 44. Just a glorious text, really talking about the subject that you deal with in the book extensively. But in verse 44 it says that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So here's the first one, God regenerating us, enabling us to see the kingdom of God. to see ourselves for who we are, to see Christ for who he is. But the second text now talks about the second stage, if you will, of now being able or being drawn by the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father, I should say.
That is correct, and perhaps listeners can already see where we're going with all six of them. All six of them really are the doctrines of grace in Jesus' own simple words, without any of those big seminary words that we all love so well.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, this is God's plan of salvation for sinners. First of all, he must give us a new heart. We must be spiritually reborn so that we can see the kingdom of God. And then, having seen the kingdom of God, we still are helpless to do anything about it until the Father draws us to the Son. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, there are some... the word draws may not be the best interpretation there of the original Greek word over in Acts when Peter and John were dragged out into the street and stoned. The Greek word was interpreted dragged. Here it is interpreted draws, and some people like to say that means entices. Well, that's not what it means. It isn't like here, kitty, kitty. It's like compel with overwhelming force, like Peter and John were dragged into the street. We can leave skid marks in the dirt, but God, if he chooses, if he elects to call us, regenerate our hearts, he then will do the other steps in his plan of salvation. And the second one is to draw us compellingly, overwhelmingly, to Jesus Christ.
Now, J.D., of course, you know, when we talk about these verses in this particular context that we find ourselves in our day and age in the church, i.e., I'm talking about a seeker-sensitive environment where we try to, in that seeker-sensitive environment, churches will try to avoid speaking about texts like this, avoid speaking about some of the less palatable aspects of the depravity of man and the exclusivity of Christ and the exclusivity of the gospel message. These texts, boy, these fly directly in the face of a lot of what's taking place in evangelical Christianity. Are you hearing quite a bit of feedback as a result of that?
Well, I'm hearing some, but people are very kind when you present the gospel to them, whether or not they are accepting what you are saying or not. But you are exactly right that man-centered theology doesn't want to hear God-centered theology. But you can't argue with the plain and simple language of Jesus' message here.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way you can say, no, that's not what he means. It means this or that. But it's just too straightforward to argue about. And I think that tends to silence those folks who have not heard it before. And you would hope that the Lord will begin to work in them, and they'll understand that.
Mm-hmm. From that text in John chapter 6, then, you proceed on to a third one that you have in the book. And, of course, this one highlighting the exclusivity of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, where he said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, in our day and age again of inclusiveness, of pluralism, you know, to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, boy, again, those are fighting words in our society today. Expound upon that a little bit, if you would.
There's no question, Kevin. These get us in more trouble in our culture than any other eternal truth of the Bible. That only through Christ can we, or only through Christ can we come to God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the words are so simple, so straightforward. No one comes to the Father except through me. finding out of that. Yes, that is true, that it sounds perhaps like arrogance. We hear that word. But, you know, my response to that is, I'm not making that stuff up. Mm. These are not my words. These are the Son of God's words. What do you think he meant when he said that? You really can't find another meaning in these words than the one that is so straightforward.
Hmm. J.D., not only is that the gospel, but do you feel that in churches sometimes today, you know, even among, you read these, I guess I'm getting to the idea of the Barna reports that come out where they interview people that claim to be Christians, and even among them, there seems to be this waning of the idea of the exclusivity of Jesus Christ being the only way of salvation.
Oh, it is a sad a truism about our culture. Barna asked folks, do they call themselves a Christian? Do they claim to be a Christian? And this particular test that I referred to in the book, or this poll a few years ago, I believe it was 80-some percent, called themselves Christians. And then he proceeded to ask them the basic fundamental questions of what Christians believe, one of which Jesus was the Son of God, Jesus is the only way, and so forth. And 5% of those 83% or 87%, 5% said no.
Hmm.
In other words, they did not hold to the tenets. It's a scary thing. But it goes back to something else that Jesus said. He said, there are folks who will do miracles in my name, but I will tell you, I knew you not. That again, you cannot get away from God's own words.
Mm-hmm. You know, it, like you say, it's so clear there, and that is such a shocking statistic, but there's where we find ourselves today. We find ourselves that even the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, which is so clear in the Scriptures, with him being the only way to have a relationship, meaning through his person and his work, what he has accomplished in coming here and paying the price for our sins, earning for us a righteousness that we couldn't earn for ourselves. This is the only way to have a relationship with the Father. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. We'll talk about it more when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
911, what is your emergency?
In an emergency, you call 911. But what about life's other problems? When crisis hits, or tragedy, or life just gets to be too much, people often turn to Christian media like Christian radio. And we're glad to be here as a lifeline to offer answers. But our programs can only be here for them when people just like you send regular financial support. So thanks for helping us be there for someone who might need a spiritual 911. You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
Here's another academic tip from Dr. Emmerich of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring.
We all spend too much time in the car, right? How about making the back seat a quick study hall? Jason, what's the capital of Utah? Kyla, what's 6 times 9? A few minutes here and there really add up, and short reviews are actually better than hours of study. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, 5 state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our Triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. You've got time still to call in with a question or a comment. We're talking about the doctrines of grace. That may be a new term for you, but basically what we're saying is the doctrines that we find in the Scripture, or the teachings that we find in the Scripture about salvation, about expounding this idea of the grace of God in our lives. What does it look like? How do we properly articulate it? What are the aspects, the attributes associated with grace? That's what we're talking about, these doctrines of grace. And we've really narrowed our study today to just one book, just to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and really to just one theme in the Gospel of John. There's many themes in the Gospel of John, the great seven I am statements of Christ. That's a great lesson in and of itself, and the seven sign miracles that we find in that Gospel as well. That's a great study. But we've narrowed our study here today to just the six statements made by Jesus, statements of exclusivity, statements that very clear, very plain, where Jesus says that unless you adhere to what he is teaching in that text, you will not receive the benefits associated with it. You won't be born again unless you come to Christ on his terms. You cannot have a relationship with God. You hear many people today talking about having a relationship with God. It's very trendy in our society today. But when you mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you mention Christ as being the only way to have a relationship with God, things change in a dramatic fashion. And so that's what we're talking about. We've already dealt with three of the texts that we find in J.D. Wetterling's little book called No One. You can go out to his website at www.jdwetterling, that's W-E-T-T-E-R, L-I-N-G, jdwetterling.com, and you can find out about how you can get a copy of this book. It's put out by Christian Focus, so a great publisher there, and you can go out and find out how you can get your hands on a copy of this little book. Just before we go back to our discussion today, let me just make a couple other program notes for you. One, on Thursday's broadcast, Senator Jim DeMint will be with me on the broadcast. Of course, Senator Jim DeMint has been a champion for conservative causes over these last couple of months with the new presidency. He has held the line. He has stood up strong and spoke out against the stimulus package and the just wild spending that's taking place there. Among other things, he's also done some great things surrounding the idea of the fairness doctrine, which is anything but fair, the fairness doctrine being implemented. I'll be talking with Senator DeMint about those things on Thursday's broadcast. Listen, he's only on with us for a short period of time, and so if you want to send me a question or a comment for Senator DeMint, I will take some calls during the broadcast, but I'm sure we won't be able to get them all in. If you would like to either tweet me one, I'm on Twitter. You can go out to twitter.com/knowingthetruth, so you can just send me a tweet if you want, or send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org, and I'll try to get your question in with the senator on Thursday. So you don't want to miss that. Senator Jim DeMint will be with us live Thursday from Washington, D.C., and so we got that to be looking forward to. Also, I want to let you know about Peak Fitness, sponsor of the program, located right down the road here on Wade Hampton Boulevard, 3150 Wade Hampton Boulevard. They also have other locations as well, but they're offering a special for Knowing the Truth listeners, $9.99 a month. You can join up down there. Also, if you buy 1 year, they'll give you an extra year for free. The one down here is wonderful. They got a full court basketball court there, and so I enjoy that. They're looking forward to getting out on there soon, being able to shoot little hoops there indoors, especially on these chillier days like it is today. They've got all kinds of facilities there and sessions that you can partake of. Let me give you a number. This is Brent Batson's cell phone. Call him. Tell him you're a listener to Knowing the Truth, and he'll give you a good rate. His number is area code 864-770-5848. That's 864-770-5848. Let's go back to our conversation with J.D. Wetterling. J.D., just before the break, we were talking about the exclusivity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the only way to have a relationship with God is through Him, that it is only His perfect righteousness. He is every thought, every word, every deed was done perfectly, and that righteousness can now be imputed to us by faith. Plus, He has gone to the cross and paid the price for our sins at Calvary. That is the only way for us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Father, with God. Is that what the point you were making in that with that passage?
Yes, indeed. In fact, the fourth unshakable certainty, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. You know, before Pilate, when Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked him, he said, you don't have the authority to save you or to take your life. And he says, Jesus says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. You know, if there was a newspaper in Jerusalem in those days, the headlines on Saturday after Good Friday would probably have said, itinerant preacher's spectacular ministry ends in disaster.
Mm.
But the fact is, it ended precisely the way it had been planned in the throne room of God before time began.
Amen.
Jesus came to this earth to die as an atonement for our sins, just as you have been talking about. And this was all part of His plan.
You know, you point out in the book a statement made by Pilate in John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. Pilate, you know, feeling that he is really in control when really he's not. He's just a player in this unfolding drama of redemption. But here's Pilate says to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you realize that I have the power either to free you or to crucify you? And then Jesus answered and said, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. And, you know, I think, and tell me if you see it this way as well, but I think in a very real way, Pilate was the one who was on trial. The Jews that were crucifying Jesus were on trial, not the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
This is just a wonderful unfolding, this whole idea of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. You point out just briefly in your book, too, that all of this was prophetically predicted and illustrated in the Old Testament passages that spoke about the animal sacrifices, that, you know, Christ being immediately upon the start of his ministry, John the Baptist saying to him, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, immediately associating Christ with those Old Testament animal sacrifices. And so on the day that Christ died, you bring out in the book that, you know, there were all these lambs were being slain around that same time period, but here was the real lamb, the only one that could actually pay the price for our sins.
Yes, yes. At the same time that the throats were being cut and the lambs were dying mercifully, the Son of God was dying painfully, agonizingly for our sins. What an amazing thing.
Mm. I love that Charles Wesley hymn, and you quote from a very small portion of it here, but Wesley in that wonderful hymn speaking about amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? The Lord Jesus Christ willingly, according to the Psalms, coming willfully and laying down his life in order to pay the price for our sins. Now that's good news, isn't it?
Indeed. The best.
Amen. Amen. So many times that when we expound the Reformation doctrines, the doctrines associated with the doctrines of grace as we're talking about here today. People look upon it in a negative way, but really, I mean, since this is the gospel, it's the most glorious message of all. This is the good news that was spoken about throughout the scriptures. Amen?
Amen to that.
Your fifth unshakable certainty that you mention here is found in John chapter 10 in verses 27 and 28. Now, get you to expound upon this a little bit. You say, "My sheep listen." You quote from the verse, "My sheep listen to my voice. I give them eternal life. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Expound upon that and do it, if you could, please, in the chain that we've been building from the other verses that have already been quoted.
Well, to continue the chain, we see that once again it begins with no one, and once again the prime mover is God. Every one of these six steps in God's plan of salvation is initiated by God, and we are the recipient of it. The most amazing thing. And now we come to one that is perhaps after the one that the exclusivity of Christ is the only way to come to the Father and to eternal life. We now come to perhaps the second most controversial one, and that is, no one can snatch them out of my hand. That is a guarantee from the highest level of authority. The exclusivity of being in Christ for eternity, the old once saved, always saved, gets us in a lot of trouble in this culture of ours also. But the fact is that the words are so simple, they can mean nothing else. A few verses later, he said, no one can snatch him out of my Father's hand. Well, we know that Jesus the Son and God the Father are the same God, so they're talking about the same hand of the triune God. We cannot be removed from the hand of God. Our salvation is assured. Once he has regenerated our hearts, opened our eyes, drawn us to him through whom and by whom only we can come to the Father, he then dies for us as an atonement for our sins, and now we are guaranteed eternal life for him, with him. The most amazing thing, and all through the gift of faith.
This idea of eternal security, of course, is something that we make mention of, that's tied in with these doctrines that we are talking about. But we're talking about it differently than maybe it has been presented in some other circles and or in some other ways of speaking about it. Sometimes people talk about eternal security in the way that, I walked an aisle, I threw a stick in the fire while I was up at the wilds or something, I made a decision for Christ, therefore I have this fire insurance, and now I can live my life in any way that I want because I can always look back upon my decision during that time and those types of things. And a lot of times the security is drawn from just how sincere they were in their repentance or what their knowledge was of the gospel and those types of things. But if I understand you right, you and I are talking about something completely different. We're talking about that because of the regeneration that has been begun in our heart, we now want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and our security is not found in our performance, but our security is found in the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Is that what you mean by this in the book?
That is absolutely right, Kevin. As R.C. Sproul says, he inclines our will. In other words, he works in us by inclining our will, and he works in us to incline our will not even to jump out of his hand. Not only can no one steal us away from the palm of Christ, but we can't even leave ourselves. We don't want to leave ourselves.
I think it was Calvin who said, once in Christ forever, nothing from his love can sever. So there's nothing. Of course, the apostle articulates that and expounds it more, or height nor depth nor nothing. Nothing. No, there's no devil in hell. There's no angel in heaven. Not that he would want to, but can separate us. There's no man upon the face of the earth. There's no government. There's nothing that can separate us from the love that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ once that love is set upon us. We'll talk about it more when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
We're Christian Talk 660.
What would it be like to see God face to face? With Upwards, I'm Max Locato. If it did happen, what would be the first thing you'd say? Like most people, would you ask him for a special need for yourself or for a loved one? Not Isaiah. While he didn't see God directly, he was given a vision of glory. And you know what he asked for? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Rather, he fell on his face, aware of his sin. From the depths of his soul, he cried out, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Keep in mind, this encounter wasn't about Isaiah. But once Isaiah saw God, that's all that mattered. There's more at upwards.org.
It's Kayla, area manager.
And Big John, manager of the new Liquid Highway next to the Hyatt in downtown Greenville.
So, John, tell our friends what makes us different from other coffee shops.
Well, Kayla, the mission of Liquid Highway is to donate 100% of our profits after taxes to the Touch the Ground Foundation, with the goal of touching the ground in all 194 countries.
We're making a difference one cup at a time, and we hope you will join us.
Find out more about the mission of Liquid Highway
and Touch the Ground at liquidhighway.com.
I'm smelling coffee, birds are singing just outside.
God has been so kind to us at Christian Talk 660 and has blessed us with many excellent Bible teachers who encourage, edify, and equip our listening audience daily. If you've been blessed by one or more of these Bible teachers, would you be a blessing to them by taking a moment to send them a note of thanks? This not only encourages them, but it also strengthens the relationship they have with us. You can do this by linking to their ministry online by clicking on Bible Teachers at ChristianTalk660.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're going to go back to our conversation in just a couple minutes, but you have under 10 minutes now if you'd like to give a question or a comment about the subject that we're talking about today. By the way, all of the audio files of all of the broadcasts that we do are located out on our website at knowingthetruth.org. That's www.knowingthetruth.org. Just look under the audio section or the audio button on the homepage, and you'll see a listing of all of the files there. You can listen to them right there. You can click and listen. It'll stream live right at your computer desk, or you can download them in either an MP3 format to put them on your listen through your computer, or dump them to your iPod or something. You're welcome to do that. There is some podcast ability out there, so you can get it that way. So just a number of ways, or you can save it and burn it to a CD and then listen to it in the car or something. So all of that is available to you free out on that website. That's www.knowingthetruth.org. One more sponsor that I wanted to mention here on the broadcast today. I'm always looking. In fact, I got in a conversation this morning when I was there at Liquid Highway with a young lady who is she's a writer, and I'm just checking out her website here and some of the things that she writes about. But we're talking a little bit about just websites and fun events that there are in the area. Well, here's one. If you have children or grandchildren, It's the South Carolina Children's Theater. They're hosting their 14th annual Character Breakfast. It's going to be on Saturday, March 14th, so it's coming up here very soon. It's going to be held at Thornblade Country Club from 8:30 till 10 o'clock is one session, 11 a.m. to 12:30 is the second session. And what they do is they have the actresses and actors from the children's theater dress in character. In other words, they dress like Cinderella or Snow White or Winnie the Pooh, these types of characters, and they eat breakfast there with your children, you and your children. So it's a delicious breakfast, but your children get to spend a little bit of time with some of these fanciful characters from some of the literature that they may be reading. And so just a fun time for the family. You can find out more out at, you can call this number to find out more. It's area code 864-235-2885. That's 235-2885, extension 10, and they'll give you all the information about this upcoming Character Breakfast. Let's go back to our conversation now in the closing minutes of our interview with J.D. Wetterling. J.D. has written a book called No One. When Jesus says it, he means it, and he's looking at six statements made by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked at five of them so far. J.D., let's look at the last one here. The last one is found in John chapter 16 and verse 22. It says this, "No one will take away your joy." Certainly, we above all the people upon the face of the earth should be the most joyous because of what has happened to us, because of this great gospel message that is now we now benefit from, we have an interest in, all of these glorious things. But this joy that we have can never be taken away. Talk about that a little bit, if you would, please.
Well, it is the sixth step in God's plan of salvation for sinners. And, you know, perhaps, Kevin, you or I could have written step six because it follows from first five. All six of these steps are instigated by God. God is the prime mover. We are the recipient. If, in fact, God gives us rebirth so that we can see the kingdom of God, if in fact he draws us to him compellingly, if no one comes to the Father except through him, and if he in fact died for our sins, for the atonement of our sins, and if he guarantees our salvation by all of that, then what is left but a joy that no one can take away? And in the context of telling the disciples this, this was after the Last Supper, and they were preparing to walk out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew, of course, his arrest was imminent, and they were very, very upset and concerned, and he said, "You won't see me for a while, and then you will see me, and no one will take away your joy." So those words to his disciples are the words to God's elect for all eternity. No one will take away your joy.
Amen. You know, you listen to some of the financial counselors today. You know, Dave Ramsey used to have a segment during his broadcast. I think he still does this, but where he would allow people to come in or call in and then say, you know, "I'm debt-free," and they were, you know, joyous about the mortgage payment finally being paid off and having a ceremony or a statement there where they express their joy. And, you know, I'm not belittling that. I mean, I understand where they're coming from and what his point is there. But how much greater joy for us to be able to say, "I'm sin-free," in the sense, not that we have achieved perfection here in this life, far from it, but in the sense that in our position with Christ, our sins are no longer being held against us, that we now are free because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And when God looks at us, he sees his Son. How much more should that joy be overflowing in us that this is what we have?
I think that every morning when I wake up.
Well, J.D., thank you very much for being with us on the broadcast. The broadcast is coming to an end, but thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us, and we appreciate this book that you've written.
Thank you very much, Kevin. It's been my great joy.
Okay. That was J.D. Wetterling. J.D. is the author of No One. When Jesus says it, he means it. And you can go out to his website at www.jdwetterling.com, and you can find out all the information there about how to obtain a copy of this book. Don't forget, on Thursday's broadcast, Senator Jim DeMint will be my guest. We'll be talking to Senator DeMint about a number of issues, primarily the Fairness Doctrine and what the senator has introduced in order to put a stop to that. But we'll talk about other issues as well. We'll see you again on Thursday, Lord willing.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.